Welcome to the Women Behind the Words, a weekly podcast that gives us a peek into the daily lives of the writers and speakers we love. Our host, Debbie Dufek, is an author, an inspirational speaker, gifted storyteller, and a certified writing and speaking coach with a passion to inspire and encourage women to live deliberately for what matters to Jesus. So sit back and soak in the story you're about to hear. Please welcome your host, Debbie Dufek.
Greetings and welcome to the Women Behind the Words. And I thank you for joining us today. And as usual, this is a special day because of who we have here with us. We have Janet McHenry here today, and her passion is prayer. So welcome, Janet. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Debbie, for having me. Such a delight to be able to spend some time with you.
Yeah, it's good. And we connect. We haven't really met face to face yet, but we're both Aussie sisters. So that makes us bonded for life here. And it's so exciting to get to know you a little bit more. But I think what we're about to dive into is going to be liberating for so many women, because prayer is something a lot of people wrestle with. And I'm not telling you something you don't know. You must see that since that's your passion. And, you know, but I've heard so many people say they feel like they're afraid, they're just not praying right, or they're not praying enough. And it's my hope that our listeners hear everything you have to share today, and they're going to find that they'll be liberated from that age-old worry of, am I doing this the way I should? So I'm excited you're here. But before we get started, I just want to read your bio to our listeners and let them get a peek into your life. Janet McHenry is a national speaker and author of 27 books, including the best-selling Prayer Walk, The Complete Guide to Prayers of Jesus, and her new release, Praying Personalities. She directs the prayer ministries at the Bridge Church in Reno, serves on the California leadership team for the National Day of Prayer, the leader of the 100-strong Bible Girls. That's an online face group that you created, right, Janet? And she is also a prayer walker. Janet has helped others foster a hope-filled, purposeful lifestyle built on prayer and God's word for more than two decades. What a beautiful bio, Janet. Thank you for the privilege of being able to interview. And thank you for everything that you do, because it's so amazing. And what a privilege it is for you, like to be on the National Day of Prayer board. That's incredible. So very exciting. Okay, so let's dive in. I'm very intrigued, especially with two topics that I know you talk about. The first being the concept of finding your natural prayer style. And then the second one that I love and I'm very anxious to hear about is making peace with your prayer life. Two topics I know are going to be really helpful to our listeners. So before we dig into that, I just want to ask you a couple personal questions. When did prayer become a passion for you? And can you put a moment or a specific situation on that that brought you to living with a passion for prayer?
Absolutely. it was the fall of 1998, actually. And physically, I was kind of falling apart. I was huffing and puffing, going up and down stairs. I had gained a lot of weight and needed painkillers to get to sleep at night. And the worst moment was when I walked out my back door one day and I found myself in a crumpled heap because my knee had given way. Oh my. So, you know, I knew I needed to do something about my health, but I also knew that for some time, God had been calling me to a deeper life of prayer. So there I was on the concrete. I fell into prayer, sort of. And I decided right then that I would get up a little bit earlier the next morning. And while I walked, I would pray, because I knew I needed to spend time for a lot of the concerns of my life, my prayers, my family, my job as a high school English teacher, my marriage. So you can hear that there's a lot of mindness during that time in the way that I was praying. And then one morning that changed when I was walking along Main Street here in my little community here in the Sierra Valley. We're only about 800 people, and there isn't a stoplight in our whole county.
Wow, that's interesting.
It's a very rural area of California, believe it or not. But I watched this young man pull up in front of the little daycare center downtown, and he went around to the other side, and he picked up this little blanketed bundle and handed his little girl over to Cheryl up on the sidewalk. And as he did that, his little girl said, "Bye, Daddy, I love you." And I knew right then that God had me out on the streets of my community, less for the minus of my prayers, but more for the needs of others. So I simply began opening up my eyes. My first prayers were for that young man going off to Reno, which is about an hour from us, the nearest city, and I knew it would be hard for him to leave his little girl all day long in the hands of someone else. And I began thinking about the business owners as I walked past their businesses and prayed for God's favor for them. And I prayed for those in the homes I passed and school bus drivers heading out to pick up kids, mill workers heading to the mill, lumber, loggers heading out into the woods. And I began finally to realize that wherever I am, there's a need for prayer. Mm-hmm. So that's how my prayers turned into a prayer walking practice, which, as Steve Hawthorne would say, is praying on site with insight.
Yes. Well, that's a beautiful one-liner. That's so true. So tell our listeners and me, because I'm interested to hear your answer on this, why you think prayer is so important.
You know, we often go to prayer with our lists of things to do, you know, and we do have to-do lists, right? That, you know, but what if we had to-be lists? To be with Jesus in the morning, to be with Jesus in the evening. And what if prayer was actually less about getting answers to the needs that we have, but it's more about the access to the living Creator who has a purpose for our lives? So I think ultimately prayer is important because we want to be more like Jesus, and we're only going to be more like our personal trainer in prayer if we spend time with him.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I just jotted that down as you were saying, I love that to-be list instead of to-do list. That's very powerful. So powerful. When I think of Jesus and why prayer is important, to me, it's absolutely key to relationship with him and deeper intimacy and knowing him more. So I'm on the same page. And I am not only a to-do list, but I'm an I need list. I need this child to do. My biggest thing is wanting my children to make a difference here for the kingdom of God and to make eternity with him. You know, some of them are walking, some of them are not. And I think as moms, you know, it's so important for us to recognize the intimacy we can have with Jesus in prayer and unload all those worries and cares. But it's so interesting to hear you talk about the to be. You know, we want to be like him so our children have that magnetic pull to us when they see our patience, when they see our love, when they see the transformation in our lives from spending time with him. So I love that. So your newest book on prayer, Praying Personalities, Finding Your Natural Prayer Style. How did that come about? And what do you mean by natural prayer style? I'm very interested in hearing about that. Can you describe that to us?
Absolutely, Debbie. So because I became so changed because of the practice of prayer walking, God changed me physically. I dropped the weight. I became stronger. My bones, my muscles, everything, you know, and all those aches and pains went away. I began speaking about that. I wrote the book Prayer Walk, and that provided opportunities to share my experience with other people. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my objective was to get everyone to prayer walk their neighborhoods, just as I was doing. But invariably, someone would come up to me afterwards and say, "But Janet, I can't walk. What do I do?" So that kind of stuck in the back of my head. And a couple years ago, I was speaking with a group of writers to give them ideas about different ways to incorporate more prayer into our lifestyle. And I sort of heard myself say, perhaps it has something to do with our God-given personality. So that began to ring true when I thought about, you know, different people have different lifestyles. They have different personalities. They grew up understanding because of the way their family prayed that there are different praying practices. They learn differently. They have different spiritual gifts. So I began going through God's word from cover to cover as I've been doing for about 25 years now. But I asked God this time, show me the praying people. Show me the praying people, Lord, and show me their tone, show me their manner, show me their prayers themselves, and give me insight. Have you indeed, you know, created us each differently? The answer to that is yes, we know that, right? Mm-hmm. So the way that we're going to pray, the way we approach God is going to be different. And I saw that in the lives of many of these biblical people that we study.
That's beautiful. That's so exciting. And so you wrote that book with all of that in mind, you know, so you think that our praying personality holds hands with the style of prayer we have? Is that basically what you would say? Our personality is shown in how we pray, and how we pray shows our personality?
I believe it can. Once we're kind of aware of it,
yeah,
of who we are. And yeah. Perhaps we look at some of these biblical people like Moses, who, you know, for two chapters, Exodus 3 and 4, he's arguing with God, you know, as to why he can't bring the Israelites out of Egypt. And later on, we see him kind of complaining to God, God, you've given me too much. I can't handle it. I don't want to live anymore. And then we see someone like, has an argumentative kind of perspective.
Edgy.
Yeah. And Job was kind of a thinker. He simply needed to process, you know, he was in pain. He needed to process, why had God allowed this to him? And then when he hears from God, we don't hear from Job, you know? So yeah. We have these kind of thinker kinds of people. Maybe they're more rational in the way that they approach life. But then there are some that are more emotional in nature, like Hannah. And we see in 1 Samuel 1, she's crying out to God. She can't have a child. Please give me a child. And then when God grants her request, next chapter, 1 Samuel 2, we see she's thanking and praising God. So, and then also David, you know, all the half of the Psalms he wrote, 75 Psalms, and many of them are laments.
Right.
And
then I read one this morning.
Yeah. And we, you know, we even have Jeremiah, you know, he not only wrote, you know, the book of prophecy that we have, but the book of Lamentations. And those are, he's speaking God's lamentations over the people, you know, so different ways to approach. Some are more physical in nature. You know, those who accompanied a prayer with fasting, Ezra, Nehemiah, we assume Esther was praying while she was fasting, you know, Daniel, those who had disciplined ways that they approached prayer, you know, so many times a day. So what I began to see is that God understands us.
Yes.
He didn't reject those people. You know, later on, they are pillars of the faith, right? And that we can, if we learn a little bit more about our God-given personality, then perhaps we can discover a natural way of prayer. Our friends might tell us, you know, that we need to journal our prayers. Oh, Janet, I journal all my prayers, and I think you'd find that great. Or, Janet, I created a prayer closet. That might ring true for you, right? I've created a prayer closet, and I go there, you know, an hour every day, you know, and I think you should do that too. So we hear all these shoulds about prayer,
yes.
And we compare ourselves, and we feel like we fall short. But if we just began to ask God to reveal to us, you know, who are we? You know, who are we as people? And to think about what might be the most natural way for us to find that praying lifestyle. For me, it was prayer walking, and it created a consciousness that wherever I am, again, there is a need for prayer so that I can, you know, I can understand as I approach a situation, a conversation. Formerly in my classroom as a high school English teacher, the prayer walking didn't stop when I walked into school,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm praying quietly for those young people sitting in the chairs.
And I think the thing that I'm hearing with you with the prayer walking is it kind of takes your mind really off yourself and really everything you walk by, you see. Like if I'm driving down the street and I see a police car and he's got his sirens on instantly, you know, you pray for wherever he's going, whoever is hurt or whoever is in danger or whatever that's. But I suppose when you're walking, especially through an actual town, there's a lot of opportunity to pray for others. That's beautiful, Janet. That's so beautiful. So I know the book that you're featuring now has three sections, and the first is about biblical praying styles, which you kind of just talked about. That's also interesting. It's a kind of spurring in my heart. In fact, I think I'm going to have to order your book. I don't have it yet. But to just go through that, is that a book that we can go through, you know, study through like your book? Is that a book we can study through and kind of work through?
Absolutely. Yeah, there are discussion questions that which make it ideal for a small group situation. And there is a ton of scripture in there for those who, if they're in a book club or a Bible study, I think it would meet both kinds of needs to be able to have a conversations about, you know, our praying lives. And then how have they changed over the years, you know?
Yeah. And think about Jenna. And they do absolutely change. And I think there's a freedom in that, that you just said, that that's really good for our young moms. There's a freedom, because I remember as a young mom, when my fourth child was born in May, the end of May, I began to set my alarm in a few weeks later for 5:15 in the morning, because I had four children by then. And I knew that unless I did that, I wouldn't have any time alone. And I love that. And I remember back to God speaking, you know, specific things to me at that point in time. But when you are, say, like a lot of our listeners are homeschooling moms. So suppose you're a homeschooling mom. You fall in the bed at night and you're out cold within 30 seconds. And so the thought of getting up in the morning to get ahead of, you know, your children is daunting to some. Others, they're very organized and they do that. What I love that you said that I think is very freeing is there are different seasons to different types of prayer that we're going to find ourselves in. Some women can have 5 minutes. Now I can have 12 hours if I wanted it. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, but they were the days when I had a half hour, I had 15 minutes, and God always met me there. So I think it's so important for us to recognize that there is no right or wrong way. It's seasons, and it's wherever the Holy Spirit, you know, calls you to do, whatever he calls you to do. So you talked a little bit about the different praying styles that the Moses and the Jeremiah, but then you investigate and report different kinds of personality assessments. So what made you, and that you do that in your book. So what made you kind of get interested in personality studies?
I began reading Christian books on personality way back when in my 30s. And I think what led me to that was I really thought that there was something wrong with me. I wasn't the joy like a fountain Christian. I wasn't the love like the ocean Christian. I wasn't peace like the river Christian. I was different. And so I thought there was something seriously wrong with me. But what those studies gently showed me through the study of scripture, again, because they're scripturally based, was that God created me for a purpose, and that I had strengths and I had weaknesses, and that I could work on minimizing the weaknesses in my life and really following the Lord for his purpose and calling for me, and to kind of live into the strengths of my personality. So because that was so transformational in my life, and that immediately led to a couple different calls. I think you call them holy interruptions, calls in my life, that tap on the shoulder to write. God gave me a call to write, and then a few years later to teach, and then a few years later after that to pray for my community. Mm-hmm. And so I think learning about ourselves is not only fascinating, but it's freeing, you know, and it helps us create more awareness of not only those strengths, but those weaknesses.
And I think when we do that, we do become comfortable in our own skin. You know, it took me a lot of years to be comfortable in my own skin, to recognize that God made me the way he did, with definite flaws that I have to deal with. I'm not saying that, but just being comfortable with my personality, my spiritual gifts. I'm not going to be, you know, a Linda Shepherd or a Karen Porter or whoever we may, Dawn Damon, but I'm Debbie Dufek and you are Janet McHenry, and God has plans and purposes for all of our lives. And it's so beautiful to, when we begin to see our personality as a blessing, when we walk the way God's called us to, we can not wish we were someone else or better, or, you know, it's just delightful to recognize that, you know, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and God has created us with our personalities, and we need tons of refinement, but it's beautiful to do it along the way. So the personality assessments, I've taken a few of those over the years. Do you think, or do you believe they're really accurate?
They can be accurate. You know, and I think we need to keep a couple things in mind. First, that those are man-created theories. Right. Those are theories. You know, it's psychology. And the best way probably that we can know who we are and to understand our identity in Christ is to read God's word. And I think that a better approach necessary rather than taking all those quizzes is perhaps to look at the underlying questions of them, which is what I tried to do. I examined 8 different personality theories, everywhere from the Greek temperaments to up to and through some more modern ones, such as Myers-Briggs. And then I also want to kind of emphasize the idea that perhaps our results aren't necessarily accurate if we don't have an accurate perspective about who we are. And because we might think less of ourselves, we want to think more of ourselves. And really, in any of those kinds of quizzes, there aren't right answers and wrong answers. But we might have these internal longings of who we think we should be or look like as a Christian. And so we answer them in the way we think they should be answered, as opposed to what's honestly true to who we are. Right. So that's the approach that I take is not necessarily, hey, go take this test, but let's look at the underlying questions that, you know, things like, What is my overall kind of perspective on the world? How do I present myself to the world? What is my outlook generally? Am I more introverted or extroverted? How do I approach work? How do I approach my spiritual life? So those sorts of questions, how do I problem solve? You know, all those sorts of things are things that we can think about more deeply and get some insight into who we are.
Are those all in your book?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep. That sounds fascinating. I'm as soon as we're done, Amazon, here I come. I cannot wait to get this. Because let me ask you this question to our listeners. They might have the same question to me. How do I really fairly and accurately answer myself of who I am in these questions? How do I have to position myself to admit that I'm this and not that, or to be willing to say, yes, I see this gifting and not, do you know, how do you tackle yourself, Janet?
It's tricky. And what I noticed with a lot of these theories is some are more sort of cerebrally oriented, like how do I think, what motivates me, things like that. And then some are more geared toward actual behavior. So I might think one way and behave another way, if you know what I mean. So that becomes challenging too. And I think I've done a pretty decent job in helping the reader kind of take a rational look at some of those and look at the underlying questions again, and then get a broader perspective maybe on like, you know, who we are, you know, who are we in Christ? And again, not just kind of fall into those and study those to death. And even in my 30s, when I was reading my 6th book, literally my 6th book on the personalities, on the temperaments, which was popular during that time, I read this phrase that said, you know, this personality will study the personalities to an obsession. And I was in the middle of the book and I actually closed and I thought, that's enough.
That's hilarious.
You know your strengths, Janet. You have a sense of your weaknesses now. Let's get to work.
Yes. Sometimes we don't actually want to get to work. We just want to keep gathering information, right? I've even heard some writers say that about themselves. They get stuck in the research and they're researching so long that they have so much that they're really afraid of the writing, you know? So it's kind of, you know, we're researching, who am I? But do we really want to know, you know,
Right.
Yeah. So the last section of your book is about spiritual gifts. Why did you include that in this book? I'm really intrigued to hear your answer.
Well, I tried to think of all the different facets that make up who we are. So personality and even generational praying styles. There's a chapter about that, because how we've grown up, what we've learned about prayer, that can have an influence on us. Learning styles about how we take in information. So how we take in information could also relate to how we convey information. And mm-hmm. since prayer really is communication, that's what it's all about, right? But I also thought, you know, well, God has given us spiritual gifts, and that is part of who we are and what we're supposed to grow into.
So much. So
I studied Paul's teachings on spiritual gifts. And we find them in Ephesians 4, Romans 12, and 1 Corinthians 12. I looked up all the Greek words that he was using and did cross-referencing and just used God's word to kind of inspire ideas about, okay, so if I have the gift of leadership, how might I pray? If I have, you know, the gift of helps, how might I pray? And what's going to be more of a kind of a natural praying style for me, given the challenges that I have in my life. So I just try to think of all the different aspects that make up who we are and help bring grace and freedom to the reader to help her.
That's so wonderful. I'm so excited to start this. And I know a lot of other women are going to feel the same way. So what would you say to the woman who would love I'm going to ask you one question after this, but what could someone take away from the Praying Personalities and the book as a whole? You know, what do you think they could walk away with?
I would say first, you know, that God loves you. He's created you. He loves you the way, you know, that you have been created. He longs to spend time with you. Mm-hmm. And that to remember, you know, that while we lift up these cries of help, you know, prayer can be a single word, help, that he longs to spend time with us. And that if our heart's true desire, in fact, is to become more like our, what I say, my prayer trainer or my personal trainer, Jesus, then I will spend more time in prayer. And that can be a simple beginning of the day. Maybe you're still lying in bed and you open your hands, palms up, and you say, here I am, Lord. Mm-hmm. I give you myself today. I'm not perfect. This is some junk I want to lay over and give to you that I'm struggling with right now. I'm going to keep my hands open, Lord, and I'm going to wait for you to give me direction for next steps for the day. And it could be a simple beginning such as that, just a few minutes, but to begin the day as much as possible, as I know we all have challenges. Debbie, I had 4 kids myself. I had a full-time job as a high school English teacher, and I volunteered out the kazoo at my church. So, you know, we are time challenged. But yes, a few minutes like that, lying in bed in the morning, and then to ask God to reveal to us, okay, where are the prayer needs as they are around me? My children doing their work in front of me today as we're sitting around the table doing our homeschooling, or I have to go to a job and I have to interact with these crazy people in the office today. Each of them has needs for which we can pray. And yes, so we begin a kind of a mental shift of perspective from that minus of prayers, that minus perspective, to more of an outwardly intercessory kind of a outlook for others.
Yes, that's a beautiful takeaway. That's wonderful. So as we, this time just flew, I hate to even say as we close, but I would love to hear anything else you have to, you know, maybe something you'd like to leave with our listeners, some thought, some last thought that you would like to leave with all these women that are, and I believe me, I have women say to me, this was wonderful. And then the next week, this was amazing. And then the next week, I can't wait till next week. So they are like sitting on the edge of their seat, listening for that last thought. What would you share with them?
I think that prayer is largely also kind of entering in to a sense of what God has done and is doing for us. In Galatians 3:12 in the Message, it says, doing things for God is the opposite of entering into what God does for you. So I think having that mindful praying sense all day long can make us understand more clearly what God's will is for our life. It will help us with the relationships with which we are struggling. It will help us understand the God-given purpose that he has for us and how we feel about ourselves. So I think prayer is cheap therapy. And that it really can be a transformational practice in our life.
Yeah. You know, when I was young and there was so much that the Lord had to work into my heart and take out of my heart. And I always said the Holy Spirit was my counselor, you know, and he was the one. I never went. You just didn't do it in those days. You know, nobody went to a counselor in those days when I was, you know, first in the faith. And that's almost 50 years ago. So, in fact, I think this year it is 50 years. It is. So that's exciting. April 19th, 1974. So it's 50 years. Oh, God has been so good to me. And he has undone all those, you know, he has lifted all those things. But I'll tell you, I was, and I still am, I chat with him all day long. So sometimes this was good for me because sometimes I feel like I'm not doing it right. I get up, I have my quiet time, I read my scriptures and I talk to the Lord, but I talk to him all day long. And I'm so glad he is who he says he is. And another thing that I share probably almost every week, and I want to share it with our listeners again, especially in the light of prayer, that I tell Jesus, I'm so thankful. I believe you are who you say you are, you know, and that's a real, it just lifts me. This is not my home, you know, and I want to communicate with the builder of my heaven, you know, my home in heaven. I want to keep that open communication. And so there is no right or wrong way. Basically, that's what you're saying, but we're going to find ourselves in different positions because of our personalities. This is fascinating. And you've opened, I think, up a deeper, like new, fresh understanding of prayer and how much the Lord, you said something too, that how much the Lord wants to spend time with us. That's kind of hard for us to grasp, isn't it, Janet, that the creator of heaven and earth is so personal that he wants to spend time with just me or just you. It's amazing.
It's completely humbling for me personally. Yes.
So beautiful. So this has been wonderful. And I know that so many hearts have been encouraged. And I just want to say to our listeners that all of Janet's information, her website and all her social media spots, that is right below in our show notes. And so please look at that. And then, you know, I just encourage all of our listeners to reach out to Janet and let her know how this time of sharing has, this podcast has changed your life or helped you or opened your eyes. So thank you so much, Janet, for sharing your heart and your passion with us. And would you do me a favor and close us in prayer?
Absolutely, Debbie. Thank you for having me. Father, we do tell you that we love you and we're so thankful that you do seek relationship with us. We thank you for your saving grace, Father, and help us to ever be mindful that you initiated the conversation. You had the first words. Mm-hmm. You had the first words. And Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He is knocking. He's knocking on our hearts. And so we thank you for your son, Jesus, who came to bring us into personal relationship with you. And we pray that, Father, that you would help us to examine our hearts, examine our lives in such a way that we can be an offering to you each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you again, Janet. And thank you to our listeners for being here with us. And I just encourage you to come back next week, next Tuesday. And also, if you can take a minute, not only to reach out to Janet, but to reach out to us as well and let us know how your heart has been touched today. And we just want to say goodbye and bless you. And we will see you next Tuesday.
Thank you for joining us today. We trust that through our sharing, you've been encouraged and given hope, knowing that Jesus has specific plans and purposes for you too. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast, as your feedback is invaluable and helps us bring you more captivating content. We also encourage you to carry our conversations forward and would love for you to engage with us and your fellow listeners on social media to share your thoughts and insights. Simply visit DebbieDufek.com. Remember, by being willing to share what the Lord has done in your life, Jesus will use your stories to change the course of history, which will affect the outcome of eternity. One heart at a time.